You do know that you are important, right? God has a call on your life, and you are valuable to Him. He's not done. If you're breathing, you're still on the earth. God's still got more for you to do. You say, well, I don't know if I'm... Well, that's okay. You don't have to know that you're fulfilling it at this very second. But you know, He can do more with one person. One person. He can do more through you in one day or in one instant, in 15 minutes than he could do sometimes through a lifetime because you're yielded to Him. Sometimes we get impatient. Anybody here been impatient? But He said through faith and patience, we're going to inherit that promise. We do have to have faith, and we do have to mix our faith with what we're doing. We're entering into this fast, and we need to say, yes, Lord, I believe something in me. See, God's not the problem. He gave us promises. He gave us the truth. And He's ready. He wants to do it. But sometimes it's on us. We're like, we don't take our, we have a part to play with God. Amen? We do. We have faith. You say, well, I'm exercising my faith. I've got my faith out there. Maybe it's a miracle you need in your body. Maybe it's, you know, some people will say, well, I've been believing for a long time. That's good, but there are things that we have to realize that we can add to our life and to our faith. Everybody says, well, why didn't I receive? Well, I wouldn't know that unless the Holy Spirit showed me. I wouldn't know. I have no idea. But there are reasons, and the Holy Spirit lives in you. And you realize, you understand, one word from heaven could change you. One word. You know, I knew a particular person that, you know, they're trying to believe God, but their whole life was one of responsibility. They were taking responsibility. Their mother and father worked a lot and did do certain things, but they took responsibility all the time, as a mother might do to the other siblings and things like that, and so much responsibility, but they didn't realize. See, they were saying, well, I don't want you to come in my presence. All you do, you just keep speaking the word of God, and that's good. We need to speak the word of God. But she still didn't seem to be able to receive. And so we have a responsibility in ourselves too, to grow up in God, to say, all right, Lord, what is that problem? Like I said a few weeks back, we talked about fixing it. We want to try to fix it ourselves. I fix it myself, see. We're not really growing up in the Lord. We're really just saying, I'll take the reins, Lord, from here, because I know I can fix this if I just keep working it. But working in the flesh didn't fix anything. Even for the disciples. Remember when they were going across the sea? And Jesus is asleep. He wasn't, you know, he's probably pretty tired. He must have been really tired, because I'm sure the boat was tossing and turning. But he was asleep. And sometimes things around us can toss and turn. And all of the disciples, they're concerned. They're bailing the water out. They're rowing as hard as they can. Everything in the flesh. And Jesus wakes up. They finally wake him up. Lord, help us or we're going to perish. And he didn't say, good job, boys. I'm so glad you worked so hard in the flesh and you have tried. What did I say? I said we're going to the other side. He said, no, why do you have no faith? Why is it that you have no faith? Well, you know, I mean, they're thinking today it'd be like, well, why didn't we at least get an attaboy? You know, Jesus has offended me. I'm going to go talk to my counselor. You know, he told me I didn't have any faith. God, help me. You know, I'm going to talk to my counselor here. And Can't you make me feel good? It's not about us feeling good. It's us believing God. Knowing what He said. Staying with what He said. If we're fighting this COVID, yes. We're standing against it in our own lives. We've got to stay strong. We've got to keep our faith high to that place where we know in whom we believe. Yes, He's my healer. Yes, He's my protector. Yes, He'll take care of me. I abide in the shadow of the Almighty. No foe can withstand me. But why? Because of God Almighty lives in me. So I'm talking a little bit this morning about our responsibility as people that we're born again and we love God, but we have a responsibility before God. As Jim was saying, what is it? You know, Matthew 6, we've taught it here. When we give, when we pray, when we fast. He says, don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about your life. Are you not much more valuable than the sparrow that flies by day? Aren't you more valuable than the lilies of the field? Yet I clothe them. Yet I take care of them. How much more valuable are you? And here he didn't say, you know, if you have no faith, but he said you have little faith. He says little faith. And so little faith doesn't always get the job done. Well, yeah, but Jesus said if we have faith as a grain of mustard seed, yes, you can say to this mountain. And yeah, it starts out as a grain, but we're not supposed to stay a little bitty mustard seed faith. The whole point is that it comes in a seed form. When you plant your faith with the Word of God, that seed grows. Our seeds develop. Seeds within itself. What is it inside that mustard seed? The image of the mustard tree, right? Now, if you plant corn, then there's the image of the corn plant. And Jesus, you know, in another place says, you know, first the corn, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. There was a process. Faith can grow. Faith doesn't have to stay small and tiny. But faith can grow. And part of what we're doing when we're fasting, we're allowing our flesh to be what? Put under. The Bible says we keep under our flesh, the things of our flesh that disturb us. And we're also opening our spirit to our Father God. Because He is desiring to answer us. He wants to answer us. Oh, He wants to answer you. God is good. We sang about it today. He's so, so good. Psalm 145, I think it's verse 9, 8 or 9, it says, God is good to all. His mercies endure. Hallelujah. He is merciful. And His goodness endures to every person. It endures to you and I to this very day. Over in the New Testament said it's the kindness and the goodness of God that draws us to repentance. See, God is good. God has made provision. We, you know, I mean, in the Old Testament, it talks about the children of Israel in Hebrews, where they didn't enter into the promised land. Why? They did not mix the truth of what God said with faith. So faith is not just hearing. It said faith comes by hearing. What? Hearing by the Word of God. That faith grows. We have to say, well, what is faith? And faith is when we become confidently expectant that what God has said He will do. So we need to get our expector on. Amen. I'm expecting God to make that change in my heart where I can receive the fullness of what I've been believing for. I know Vicky, she's making progress. Nobody says, well, progress? Well, yeah. I remember she's so bad, she could hardly walk in here. And she walks in here, oh, glory to God. It's getting better. And sometimes we don't want to receive, hey, it's change. Amen. I've been able to receive a little more of the healing power of God in my body. He's working in me. Now, if you get 50% better, that's a lot, isn't it? You know, if I come over to you and you got, you know, say, well, you didn't get the whole steak on his plate, but you got 50% of it. That's a good little portion. Amen. That's a beginning. It's the start. And God doesn't start out with us, none of us. There's not one person in here that was born again, and tomorrow, the next morning, you woke up, oh, I just know everything about God. Not one of you. Not any of us. Now, yes, the laws of God were written on our heart. Yes, we were cleansed. Yes, you might say, hey, I know things have changed, hallelujah, and maybe the big weight was lifted off your shoulders, and you were all excited, hallelujah! We should be excited because God is exciting. Amen, He is. He's very exciting, and He wants to do great things. But see, He can't just flow through you because He wants to. He can't. Our heart has to be in tune with Him. We have to be ready because He doesn't want to destroy you. He loves you beyond the established things. He starts out and He lays the foundation in our life. And when our foundation is right and our foundation is firm, it's a foundation of fellowship with Him. Because you say, well, brother, I can just do what I want. Okay. You can. We need to preach the gospel around the world. Why don't you just go on over there? You know, you go over to Iran and go preach that gospel and get them all saved. Go on. Amen. One guy, he decided to do that. They didn't want anybody coming in there, and it may be God. You know, there's people who have lost their lives for it, but there was the island, and on this island, they had already said, we don't want anybody. Don't tell us about your God. Don't come here. Don't get over here. Well, he decided to make his way over there. And that's great and wonderful. He did, you know, and he told him, he said, just leave me there. And that's fine. If you're going there by faith, he's trying to believe God. And he was killed. They killed him. He was there maybe a couple days. That's it. Boom, he was killed. Now, if God tells you to do something, it's fine. I'm not saying that you couldn't be killed. It may be God. He may have asked him to lay his life down. Everybody says, well, that wasn't God. Well, we don't really know because it's not our relationship. It's not our place with God. But you need to know what your place is with God. If God tells you to go to Iran, praise the Lord. We need people there. We need people around the world. Amen. No, God's not telling me to go to Hawaii. He's telling me to go to Hawaii. Praise God. I hear him. He said Hawaii. I just know it. You know? Or wherever your favorite place is, you know? There's other nice places too, you know? I hear Florida's warm this time of year, you know? And a lot of people go there, and there's nothing wrong with some of those things. But we need to listen and realize we have a responsibility as his sons and daughters to walk with him. And that's really the desire of my heart, to walk with God, not run out in front of him trying to make everything happen in the flesh. We could all run out. We could try to make something happen. Anybody ever tried that? Amen. Hallelujah. Okay. Somebody's laughing over here. You must have been there. Amen. We've all tried something. Maybe in your heart it was God. Oh, I thought it was God. I thought God told me to do that. Well, what did he tell you to do? Well, he sent me down to the barber shop. And he told me there's going to be this guy there and I'm supposed to witness to him. And I can't figure out why in the world I went down to that barbershop, why God would send me down there, and the barbershop was closed. We need to come to our senses and realize I missed it. The barber shop was closed. Lord, you said I was to go down there and in there. There's going to be somebody there for me to witness to, and it was closed. Obviously, I did not hear God. Amen. Well, that's a responsibility that we have. We have to develop ourselves in God. Do you understand? Jesus, he had to grow in God. He did. He had to grow up. Well, where'd you see that, brother? In Luke chapter 2. There's two verses there. Luke 2:40 says this. I didn't take up the offering, did I? I just went preaching. Praise the Lord. If you have an offering, bring it up anytime. We'll receive it. Hallelujah. Verse 40. It says, wait a minute, Luke 2:40, not 1. Luke 2, verse 40. It says this, and the child, talking about Jesus, grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Hallelujah. How about that? And the child what grew, Jesus, they returned to Galilee, to their own city, Nazareth. They're here. Hallelujah. Talking about this, and here's Mary and Joseph, and Jesus grew. We could say that. The child, Jesus, he grew. He became strong in spirit. See, many times we want to become strong, but do we really understand what is it going to take for me to be strong in spirit? In my inner man, in our inside person. And who we really are, and the person that God has already made you. Yes, everything that you need from God lives on the inside of you, but all of it's not full grown. If it was, then you would walk fully in the love of God. Because the Bible said the love of God was poured forth in your heart by the Holy Ghost. We can't say we don't have it. But sometimes there are times we're not walking in it. Or sometimes you see people and you think, man, they don't have any love at all. Yeah, the love of God may be in there, but they're not yielding over to it. They're not recognizing it. They're not conscious of it. We have to become conscious of our inward man, that spiritual man that's on the inside of us. Because it's from the spirit of man that we mature and we grow. Jesus said it is through, or Paul said in Romans, you know, it is through the spirit we put to death the deeds of this body and we grow from the inside out. You said, well, I knew that before I came this morning, Pastor Doug. How is that going to help me understand to walk with God? Because many times we can know things in our mind, but they have to become real on the inside in our spiritual being, in our spirit man. Yes, we hear the Word of God. And yes, the Word of God builds on the inside of us as we continue to speak it, and we need to continue to speak it. But there are things that we need to do to add to our faith. Hallelujah. Amen. And we can grow. We can be filled with wisdom. The grace of God can rest upon us. What is grace? Grace is God's power working in you to fulfill all that He called you to do. It's His power to overcome. Grace is not something that's over here that says, well, whatever I do, He forgives me anyway, so I'm just going to go for it, praise God. And you go out into the flesh and you continue to do sin. You continue to do things against God. He cannot bless that and He cannot grace that. And He will not grace it. Because you're going to have to stand before Him and give account for your life, each one of us. We have a responsibility. Hallelujah. Verse 52 of the same chapter, Luke 2, says, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. Hallelujah. Well, wouldn't you say increased? If you increased, didn't you grow? Amen. He grew. He gained more wisdom. He gained things from his Father. See, Jesus came, yes, he was totally God, in the sense that God had birthed him. God impregnated Mary. The Holy Spirit came upon him. He was not born into sin, but he was born already alive to God without the taint of sin, because he didn't come from the seed of man, but the seed of God. Came in the form of man, but it was the seed of God that impregnated Mary. Hallelujah. The blood of God was in him. And yes, in that sense, he was God. But the Bible says he emptied himself of all of those things and became a man. Why? So that he could fully fulfill the law that could not be fulfilled by man, no matter how hard they worked. Why? Because their spiritual part of them was not alive to God. It was death. It was a death nature. And yes, every time God gave them the law so they understood what sin was, but they could not fulfill it. They couldn't keep the Ten Commandments, no matter how hard they tried. Hallelujah. There, at some point, all of their willpower broke down and they couldn't do it. Because God had to come. God desired. He said, I've got to change that nature that's on the inside. He said, well, then they weren't saved. Yes, they were saved in the belief and the understanding of the coming promise of Christ. That's why they went to Abraham's bosom. They were believing. They went every year to have their sins covered. Right? They were covered, but they were not washed away. You and I have our sins depleted. They're gone. They are washed with the precious blood, because the blood of Jesus was perfected. He lived the perfect life. He fulfilled the law. That was the key. He preached the kingdom, but fulfilled the law in that promise. And he continued to preach the kingdom. That's why a lot of times they're not understanding him. They're not really grasping it. They're not seeing that he has come. There is a change taking place. There's a new covenant. There's a new promise. I am fulfilling the promise that God has given through Abraham, that in Christ all men may be saved. And that nature, yes, we received, boom, it was born. We were born again of the seed of God, the child of God, the joint heir with God that you are, and the promises of God are to us, yes and amen, and we can receive them. But sometimes there are things within our own flesh, within our own mind, the way we think, the way we see. We're not seeing clearly. Hallelujah. But the Word of God begin to clear our thinking. And we get that thinking. We get those things. And we allow the Holy Spirit to show us. What is that problem then? Why are we not seeing all the things in the book of Acts, Lord? We want to see those miracles. Well, you know, in the book of Acts, there's a whole lot more than just miracles. Everybody says, well, I want a book of Acts, the Acts of the Apostles, right? This is the things that they did through the Holy Ghost. This is how they lived. But the main things that we need to understand, they were relying on the Holy Ghost. They had to rely upon him. You know, they didn't walk around. Now, we're looking back from Scripture. From the history that we already see, we've got 20/20 vision. But when they received God, all they really had, I mean, the Bible says, what did the Bereans look at? What were they looking at to check to see if what they're saying so? They were looking at the old covenant. Probably didn't, may not even had all of that. They have had, you know, different parts, and they knew the Pentateuch. Most of them had it memorized, first five books of the Bible. But they are teaching Christ to them. They are approving from the Scriptures, maybe in Isaiah and so forth, showing them that Jesus is the Messiah. And they're looking to see whether these things are so. They were studying. They were saying, is that true? Well, Pastor Doug, is it true that we have to grow? I thought when I got saved, I just got everything Jesus is. And you did, in the sense that you are a born-again believer. Yes, you received the love of God. Yes. all the fruit of the Spirit's in you. It is likened, Paul likens it also to a body. When a child is born, he's not born fully mature. He may have all the body parts. He's got the hands. He can see. He can think. He can reason. But he's a child. And he must mature. He must grow. And if he doesn't mature and we grow, and we say, well, what's wrong with him? Is it the parents? Are they not teaching him anything? You know, he thinks red is blue. Why? His father told him that. See, we learn things from what our father tells us, but we have to grow into those things and mature into them by the Spirit of God, by our new nature, and by the Holy Ghost. See, you can't know the things of God. There's people that aren't saved. Why do they persecute the church? They don't understand. They have no idea. They can't understand it. The Bible said it's impossible. The natural mind cannot receive the things of God. They can get born again. They can understand how to be saved. They can understand the gospel, and they can give their heart to God. But they can't really understand what it is until it's received into their heart and into their life. Then it looks like, whoa, oh, I see, I understand. Yeah, to a limited degree. But they can't really understand the things of God. Why? Because they're spiritually discerned. They don't have a nature that can be taught by God. But you and I have the nature of Christ on the inside of us. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, sorry, second chapter. But that's what he said. He said these things, spiritual things. Let's look at this. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, sorry. I'm getting my twos mixed up. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Let's look here at verse 12 says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is from God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. In other words, before you're born again, you don't have a nature on the inside of you that can understand. You can't compare you to the spiritual things of God because you don't have them in you. You're different. That would be like saying, well, you know, if a man, you know, if I stand here and I have my dog here and I'm trying to compare myself to my dog, I cannot do that. Why? You cannot. I'm a different species. I'm not the same as my dog. My dog may have some emotions. They may love me in a certain way, but I cannot communicate with them. We are not the same. Hallelujah. But if I have another dog here, that dog can communicate with this other dog. They have a like nature. They are similar. They have the instinct of a dog. We don't expect it to meow. Why? Because it's a dog. We expect it to bark. We expect him to, you know, behave himself when we tell him to, and sometimes he doesn't, you know. Why? Because he doesn't understand. He can't understand you, and he never will fully understand you. It's impossible. He doesn't have the nature to understand you. Mm-hmm. You say, yeah, but he loves me. I understand that. To us, he loves us. You know, he's my best friend. He sticks with me, and he'll follow me around, and he likes my treats. You know, that's why you never really beat a dog. They'll turn on you if you're not careful, and rightfully so. Amen. It's true. Sometimes people get carried away, you know, and they beat on their animal. That's not good. Everybody's saying amen. Oh, yeah, especially my dog. You know? But, you know, it's different. There's a different nature on the inside. But here it says comparing what spiritual things with spiritual. The Holy Spirit begins to teach us. What was that 12th verse? It says we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is from God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us by God. In other words, these things, the things that were given to us by God, we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches. Well, what's he talking about here? I believe here, we see here, we have also been given the Holy Spirit of God, in which when we begin to pray in other tongues, these are the mysteries. These are the things of God. And he begins to bring us wisdom from heaven. Okay? Then that is not natural. It's supernatural. When you begin to pray in the Holy Ghost, the Bible says, what, in 1 Corinthians 14, we don't speak to men but unto God. In the Spirit, we are speaking mysteries or divine secrets with God. Now, it's not something that God doesn't understand, but it's something we don't yet understand. But as we give him permission to pray through our life and we begin to pray in the Holy Ghost on purpose, as much as we want to, as long as we want to, we build up ourselves on our most holy faith praying in the Holy Ghost. What begins to take place? He begins to teach us. We begin to understand. We begin to say, oh, Lord, this is the promise. And I've been trying to stand on my promise. I'm trying to receive this area from God. What seems to be the problem? See, the Holy Ghost knows. You know, many people come to me. They say, well, how come I didn't get that miracle, brother? Pastor, what happened? Why didn't it just, you know, it doesn't seem like I'm getting it. I'm not receiving it. And of course, as I said, I wouldn't know unless the Holy Ghost showed me, which he might. And I think it's good. We can all go to services and there's times when the manifestation of the spirits of God are in operation. The Bible says it says the Spirit will, see. You can go and you may get a miracle, but you may not. But what if I don't get that miracle? Does that leave me out? No, it doesn't leave you out. It does not leave you out because you have a way on purpose to press into God, to know the knowledge of God, to begin to be taught by God. See, the Holy Spirit will begin comparing the spiritual things to your spirit because now you're in God's class. You're in God's class. You're on the same wavelength because the Bible says God is a spirit. And when we seek him, see, we seek him. How? In our own power? No. But with the unction of the Holy Spirit on the inside of us, and we begin to pray out the purpose of God, the plan of God for our life, the understandings of what is going on in me. And sometimes, as I said before, there was the lady, and she didn't realize I've got this stronghold in my life that is stopping me from receiving from God. But I didn't even know it existed in me. She didn't even realize it's there. But the Holy Spirit began to compare spiritual things with spiritual. He began to bring forth wisdom. He began to say, hey, here's the problem. Here it is. And boom, then I can see. And I can take the word of God and I can begin. He not only does that, but he begins to help us to change those things that are on the inside of us. To transform us. Amen. It's a transformation process. But it is something that we can do anytime we want to, as long as we want to, as much as we want to. Is begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. To allow him to teach us. To allow him to change us. To allow him to help us to grow in the things of God. Hallelujah. Amen. We have to mature. We have to let him grow us up. Now, if we're interested in growing up. Say, well, I want things to change in my life. Then you're interested in growing up. Amen. We're interested in changing. We want to move forward. I don't care if I'm 100. I want to keep maturing in God. There's no limit to him. There's not a limit. We're going to be learning about God, I believe, for all eternity. He's big. He's way bigger than we are. You say, well, how are we going to understand him? by continuing to follow Him by our spirit. And if our spirit's weak, then our flesh is going to overtake us. Amen. And that's part of what the fasting is we're denying the flesh. We're not letting it have its way. We're going to stop eating here. We're going to stop eating there. I mean, when Jim said we had 3 months of fasting, it didn't mean we fasted for 90 days, okay? But we had times of fasting all through that 3 months. You know, sometimes it might be, you know, some people fast a long, long fast. Others, like she said, you know, some people work a hard job, you know, or you do things. And, you know, it doesn't mean you can't fast at all, but maybe you can fast one day and one day on, one day off, things like that. Hallelujah. And it will bring forth a change in our life. And what we're doing is we're separating this time because we're going to go unto God. We're going to believe God for that change, that one thing. You said, well, I got 10 things. Well, find one. Narrow it down. Write your things down and ask the Lord, Lord, what do you want for my life? What do you have, Holy Spirit? Hallelujah. What do I really need to concentrate on this next couple of weeks? If you haven't already found it, just talk to Him about it. Ask Him. Say, Lord, what is that thing? You know, maybe it's more prayer time. So, well, okay. Well, we're going to be doing that this week, but maybe it is in your own private life. God's been already talking to you. He's been drawing you in. So I've been speaking the word, but I haven't been praying in other tongues because see, we can have the word of God. Lots of people know the Bible. There's people who know the Bible 10 times better than you do and I do. Some of them got it memorized, but they're not seeing the fruit thereof. Why? Because the Holy Ghost is the one that brings understanding. He is the author. He is the author. Yeah, they may have some understanding, limited understanding, but we got the Holy Ghost in us. And the Bible says we can begin to pray out those things. We can begin to pray in the Holy Spirit. And what's going to happen? He is going to be your teacher, because He knows you. I might know you a little bit. I know so much about you, and you think we think we know ourselves, and we do as far as we know. But when we come up against something, and we, you know, eventually we find everybody, they say, well, I've been getting results left and right. Well, that's great. Eventually they come up against something that they cannot move at that moment. At that time, it seems, oh, well, I've come this far. I've had these great miracles even maybe, you know, but oh, here's one. It's just not happening. It's just not taking place right now. But I know you've promised it, Lord. What seems to be the problem? What can I do, Pastor Doug, to help change those things, to gain that understanding? You can begin to pray in other tongues. You can begin to seek God. Yes, you can begin to fast. And so when we're praying and sometimes we're not seeing that answer, fasting brings us to a place where that flesh goes down and our spirit man is exalted and we begin to hear from heaven. We begin to say, oh, I see what needs to change now, Lord. I see what the problem is. Now the Holy Spirit comes alongside us to help us get a hold of the truth of that word and to see those changes take place from the inside out, and we begin to become free. We begin to come, you know, those chains break. Those things break off of us, and we are then, boom, all of a sudden, some people say, well, I fasted and prayed, and look what God has done. All of a sudden, He started answering my prayers left and right. Well, God wanted to answer your prayers left and right the first time we asked. He already promised it. He wanted to do it. But there was something there in me, my subtle unbelief that I didn't realize was there. For some reason, I wasn't connecting completely, Lord, in faith with You. And when He reveals those things to us, they can be axed from our life and we receive. It's not anything, you know, this everybody's like, well, that's just spectacular. Wow. Well, it is supernatural. It is supernatural. It just may not be as spectacular as we like, because sometimes when we get into prayer, it can seem kind of boring. He's bringing it to our spirit. Our spirit is what communicates with God, not this fleshly man. Seeing that soulish man, that our notion, and, oh, I want to understand it, Lord, I want to know everything. And your spirit man goes into a conference with God. I'm talking with the King of Glory, the God of the universe. I'm speaking the truth. I'm speaking mysteries. And He is creating in me knowledge and understanding to where I can be changed to receive the promise of God. It is so vital and so important for us. And so, you'll not... communicating with us. See, that's why a lot of people, I mean, the devil, why does the devil fight it so much if there's no power in praying in other tongues? Why does he try to keep every church out of it? First, he tries to keep you from getting saved. Then you go and get saved. Then he tries to keep you from getting the Holy Ghost. Then you get that. Now what's he doing? He's trying to keep you from prayer. He's trying to keep you from time with God. He's trying to keep you from on purpose, fulfilling the purpose that God has for your life. And that's what we're going to be moving into these next couple of weeks. Because the Holy Spirit will teach us. He will guide us into what? All truth. How's He going to do that if we don't ever spend time with Him? Well, I just don't have time to pray, but we got time to watch a 3-hour movie. Nothing wrong with watching a movie, but did you spend time with God today? Say, well, I know He was telling me to shut that off and to go spend time with Him, but my mind just doesn't get anything out of it. I know it wasn't for your mind, but your spirit man is gaining truth. Your spirit man is gaining wisdom, and ultimately it will be transferred into this natural realm where we can use those things to change our life and to see ourselves grow up so that the patience of God, the peace of God is what really begins to come forward. Say, well, I just got a terrible problem. I just fly off the handle. Oh my goodness, I don't know what it is, but people bug me. All people bug me. I'm just telling you. I can be explosive. I'm telling you. Just watch it. Don't get around me on the wrong day. What's going to change those things that are in me that's causing that to happen is the great Holy Ghost mixed with the Word of God to bring forth the transformation of your spiritual being so that your flesh does not rule me anymore. And what comes out of me is not anger and hatred, but love and kindness. So that when I'm touched, I don't flow out. I don't spew out the enemy's work. I don't yield over to the flesh and the work of the enemy. That's what the devil uses. He uses our flesh, but God uses our spirit man. And they say, you know, if you'll take 90 seconds, say something does get you upset, but you'll stop. Just take 90 seconds and wait. Don't answer yet. It's just a minute and a half. It's not that long. And how you respond after those 90 seconds is the patterns that your brain begins to create. That many times we don't wait and think. We don't take the 90 seconds. We just take off and speak. Well, you don't know what they did to me. You don't understand. That's just wrong. Yeah, it was wrong. But it's not what happens to us in life. It's our response to what happens. It's not what took place. It's not that anything is right or wrong. It's what are we going to do with what happened? We can't change the past. I can't change your past and you can't change mine. We can't do anything about what happened. I can't fix yesterday, but today we have a gift. Today, right now, we have a gift. What are we going to do with today? Because the choices that we make today is what brings our change for tomorrow. Amen. We want a better tomorrow. We've got to make choices today. There's people today, they rolled over in bed, decided, well, I'm not going to church today. I'm not going to go worship God and seek God today. I think I'll stay here and be comfy in my flesh. And they've lost out on what God wanted to say to them today. I don't care what church it was. Well, God may have had that word for them that day. And they knew in their heart, I should get up and go. But it's been so long. And, you know, there's a COVID out there. I might get it. And fear defeated them once again. And the enemy got happy and he laughed with glee. Because they didn't hear. Hallelujah. Now you're here. So praise the Lord. It's none of you, right? That's not me. But we do that sometimes anyway. God wakes us up. Our bed feels comfy. We're all nice and warm. Or we hadn't slept much and God's saying, I really need you to pray for this person right now. Lord, do you know what time it is? Yeah. Like he doesn't. And sometimes it's not always easy, but we endure hardness and we endure what's necessary to do the things that bring about change. See, that's what we discipline ourselves to, not to bring the change. We don't discipline ourselves per se to make the change, but we discipline ourselves to do the things that are necessary to make the change, like prayer, praying in the Holy Ghost, reading our Bible. You say, well, you know, a lot of people that are in other countries, well, they're just looking for a Bible. They're hungry for a Bible. Well, a lot of times when we are in distress and under persecution and under hard times, see, we want out. See, we could bring those same people over here. And you said, well, what would be their problem? Well, they probably had the same problem that you and I have. Well, what's that problem? Dust. Dust on their Bible. Why? Because they came to the land of plenty. They're all excited. They got plenty. They got enough. They could do whatever. Seem to make it on my own. Everything's going great, you know. Are you reading your Bible? Am I praying? Am I really worshiping God on my own? Just me and him. See, these are the things that even preachers have to repent of sometimes. See, you know, there's a lot of preachers, they don't pray much. They just look at society and make up a nice pretty sermon that sounds good. You know, I'm wanting us to change. I'm wanting to give things. I mean, this year, seriously, I mean, we've got to have things that change our heart. What changes us? Praying in the Holy Ghost. You said, well, I know that. I knew that before I came today. Good. How many got to be, sometimes we have to keep reminding ourselves. Why? Because daily, the enemy comes daily. He comes every day. And we got to resist him every day. Hallelujah. It's true. He comes to say, no, don't do that. You like this. Yes, my flesh may like that, but my spirit loves God. And sometimes for a while, it may not seem like anything's happening. You may seem like, you said, well, it just doesn't seem like I'm really touching, Lord. It's not about us feeling, but about us being faithful to those things, knowing. How do you know? Because the Word of God said, when I pray in tongues, I am built up. The Holy Ghost is teaching me. He is bringing me wisdom from heaven. And I am speaking it out of my mouth, allowing him and giving him permission to begin to operate in my life and begin to show me what is holding me back, Lord. What's holding Pastor Doug back? I can pray on. I can't pray, but, you know, I can pray for you. And those are good too. We need intercession. We have it here all the time. And we need it. We've got to birth things. But that's not the only praying there is. There's you and him too. Now, when you're at that prayer, it'll build you up too. It'll still strengthen you. You'll still get things from God. Amen. But here we're talking about praying on our own. By myself, Lord, I'm going to sit down and pray. Whatever it is you have time for, whatever you want. Say, well, I want a little bit of change. That's fine. You can't pray 10 minutes and not see a change. But what I'm talking about is taking some time and being consistent and letting our life become one with Him. Every day, day in, day out, beginning to say, okay, maybe I started. I know a guy started. He couldn't pray more than 15 minutes. But today he can pray 12 hours. Amen. And it's not about what, you know, how long we can pray, but it's about the change that begins to take place. See, because when you begin to build a foundation, if I go out here and build a building, it's not like it's not like God's just strengthening us like a battery and it's going to run back down. No, He's building a building. He's building your life. If you build a foundation so far, you say, well, I quit for a while. What am I going to do? Well, that's how far you are. That's as much as you can go with God right now. But, you know, you've got your foundation. Maybe you got part of a wall over here and some other things. You don't walk away from that. I can walk away from that. I can come back. You know, if I come back 3 months later, it didn't all get torn down. The foundation's still there. I just have to start building again. Let Him build again. Let Him continue and move me forward from where I am. Wherever you are, you know, everybody says, well, you're going to see some wane. You may say, well, I feel like I'm this, you know. Well, what you feel like and what isn't necessarily the same thing. See, He has healed us. Well, that promise was made. I am the healed of the Lord. You know, maybe if I'm sitting down in a wheelchair, it don't look like it, but He already provided. I am the healed. That provision was made. Now I am just connecting faith to receive it. I'm connecting with God to receive the things of God. Whatever it may be. Like I said, changing your attitude. You know, basically we have some things in life. We've got what? We've got our walk with God. We've got our friends. We've got our family. We've got our finances. You know, we've got our work, you know, our fun, you know, what we do for entertainment. I mean, that's pretty much your life. You know, it's not a whole lot. You know, those are the main, I'm giving the main, you know, things, parts of our life. You know, maybe there's some friends you got to cut off. Maybe there's some family members you need to stop listening to. So, wow, I don't know, bro, that's family. I understand. But sometimes we can't listen to everybody. And you can't do everything. Maybe there's a few birthday parties you need to not show up to. Yeah, but our family expects us to come to every single one. I understand. But our expectations are not to be fulfilled of men. We're not here to please men, but we're here to please God. I'm just giving some ideas that God may speak with you. Cut that relationship off. You know, you don't need, you know, if a person is toxic to you, what do we tell people? You know, they're in jail. When they come out of jail, they might want to change their friends. Why? Because it was their friends that got them hooked up and got them in trouble to go to jail. Anyway, it was good preaching, brother. Hallelujah. Maybe we'll look at that later. But we can change. We can grow. We can mature. We can grow in wisdom and stature, in favor with God and man. And we can let the love of God, the life of God, everything that God is in us begin to grow up and mature. And we can add to, 1 Peter said, what do? We add to our faith. Knowledge, what? The wisdom of God, the faith of God, the life of God. Hallelujah. And we add godliness and character that God gives. You know, well, why did you do that? You know, how come you didn't keep your word to that person? Character flaw. We need to start being honest with ourselves. You know, sister, I should have kept my word, and I apologize, I didn't. You know, I'm going to do it. Amen. We need to be honest with ourselves. Sometimes we're not honest with ourselves. We lie to ourselves. Oh, well, I'm a great character. You know, somebody calls, tell them I'm not available. That may be true, and that's okay. But, you know, they call 100 times, you'd never call them back. You kept saying, I'm going to call you, I'll call you. But you don't. So, well, it's not always the big things in life. You know, you go to work in and you get favor with the boss. You come in every day, 2 minutes late. Every day, you're 2 minutes late. And your boss sits down, they talk with you, and they're trying to work with you. Well, what seems to be the problem? Oh, I hit that red light again. No, that wasn't the problem. We all can see through it, but it was that you didn't leave a few minutes earlier. You didn't leave in time. But you keep doing that. And in your heart, see, you may not realize it, but maybe it's a silent rebellion. You know, and we're like, what? Yeah. You kind of, I don't have to. And, you know, you can't always, you know, you don't know it, but maybe in your heart, so you're saying, I don't have to be there 2 minutes. They like me anyway. I got this job. Hey, I'm entitled, you know. It's not going to work out too good after a while, is it? Because the boss can sit down. They may give you a few, you know, say, well, okay, you know, you've had this, you've had that, you had the other, but this is the, 10th time you've been late this year, and we've been very graceful with you. If you can't seem to get here in time, then you're on time for a little bit, and then pretty soon you go back. Why? Because it's a pattern that you develop in your life, and you said it's coming from my core, something in me. Lord, what is that? See? He says, oh, it's that you have to make that adjustment, that change. And it seems so tiny. And sometimes it's the tiny things that need to change that we receive from our Father. Anyway, let's stand up.